think we're moving to item 14 before we do item 6. Is that what we decided, or was it the other way around?
No, I think we're going to do item 13, the enforcement report first, then go to presentation by Chris Kerrigan. So, Harvey, if you'd come up, please.
Okay. So we're doing 13 first?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so it's the written report again. I did call out a few violations from the listing that I thought were notable. Lucas and Llewellyn Vineyards Winery in Buellton. We're continuing to follow up with the county on enforcement with that. Looks like the DA will be in charge of that enforcement. And Napomo CSD, I just wanted to mention that they're still constructing their site. And there was one class one violation in the listing, and that's the facility up in Santa Cruz County that we'll be following up on also. So other than that, that's it, unless you have questions.
Any board questions? Mr. Johnston, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question regarding I'm pleased to see the steps that are being taken to try and get more efficient enforcement on enrollment on fees in the cooperative monitoring program in a way that's not staff intensive. I guess the question I have is, so what we're doing is growers who don't pay the fees will be invoiced by the state board, and if they don't pay, they'll be referred to a collections agency. That essentially
that's
is our
my understanding,
follow-up.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just wondering if it's possible to I guess I have a couple of thoughts. One, is it possible to put some sort of I assume if they're not paying their fees, they revert to the individual monitoring requirements?
That's true also, yes.
And
they pay a higher fee. Their fees go up substantially.
Right, their fees go up, so then if they pay the fees to the collection agency, are they back off the individual monitoring? I'm trying to understand this. I guess my question is, I mean, is there a way to set in a second step if they have to go to individual monitoring to then maybe have some sort of an automatic fine for not monitoring? I'm guessing if they're not paying the fees, they're not monitoring individually either.
My understanding is that if they do pay their individual fees, they are eligible once again for inclusion or enrollment under the general order, but they have to come up into compliance with individual requirements or individual monitoring requirements first.
So if they do pay their fees, for the period during which their fees were in arrears, do they have to then come up with individual monitoring statements or data for us, or what's the deal on that?
I'm going to refer that one to Angela, if I can.
So, Angela Schroeder, Ag Program Manager. Our ultimate goal is that they come into compliance. So, basically, we are giving them the opportunity after, assuming they come into compliance with their higher estate permit fee, to go back to the cooperative monitoring program, which means they have to pay their back fees and get, up to date on their monitoring program. So in those cases, they would be in compliance, and we would likely not prioritize enforcement on the individual.
So paying their back fees brings them up to date on the monitoring.
Assume program. They do that in a timely manner and also satisfy their state permit fee at that higher rate for the fiscal year.
Okay, and if they don't, they're subject to collection.
And compliance with individual monitoring.
So I guess that's my question because, I mean, enforcement's been such a tricky problem here because there's so many of them and they're small amounts, essentially. I mean, I understand we want people to come into compliance, and I'm just looking for a more efficient way to deal with the folks that simply don't pay the fee. I guess if they pay it to the collection agency, are they then in compliance?
Well, they also would have to come into compliance with the monitoring requirements, right? So they would do that either by joining back into CMP the cooperative program or by conducting their individual monitoring. What I'm hearing from you is trying to find a more efficient way to deal with the noncompliance with the individual monitoring, should they fail to do that. And one of the items that we are evaluating right now is similar to an enforcement mechanism that we took for fees previously, which is the expedited payment letter. I'm not sure if you recall that, but basically set up a fee enforcement schedule, sort of a looking to Harvey here, settlement approach, which allows them to pay a set fine or not.
That's what I'm looking for, and I'm looking for also the so if someone doesn't pay their fees, it goes to collection, the State Board invoices it, it goes to collection, then we're saying they have to pay the collection agency for the back fees and they have to re-enroll. At the time they re-enroll, do they pay fees or are they then back on, you'll owe them somewhere, you'll owe them down the road? I just want to kind of cut the cycle with the repeat offenders.
I think that this is going to cut the cycle for a lot of them because, remember, when the collection agency goes after them, it dings their credit line. So now when they go to buy fertilizer or seeds or something and they want to buy it on credit, if somebody runs a credit check, they're going to see that they owe the state of California, you know, whatever they owe them. So I think that's going to help.
The other thing that's going to help, I think, is that this is on an annual evaluation. And so you have to be current in your fee payment, else you're going to get back into this mode of individual. So you have to maintain your good standing with the cooperative.
Okay, thank you. And it sounds like you're considering something like a standard fine for people who come back around.
Who don't comply with the individual.
Who don't comply with the individual.
That's correct. What we're hoping ultimately, right, is that everyone pays their fees and is actively participating in the cooperative, which will really reduce the number of growers who would have to comply with the individual surface receiving water monitoring requirements.
Sure, because we don't want to deal with all the individual farmers either. We'd really rather deal with the...
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Hunter.
One aspect of this, if I recall correctly, was that Preservation Inc. Wasn't sure that they had an up-to-date active list of operators, that some of those folks and that's the question, are we certain that these 355 growers are still actively operating, or is that part of the process to come?
That's part of the process for our evaluation, and in fact, we are working with State Board right now to conduct the invoicing, and it's possible that not all 355 will be invoiced. There is a subset where there is some uncertainty about whether or not they're actively farming, and so we might choose to deal with those separately.
Yeah, so they would still owe for the period of time that they're in active operation, but if, say, the last year they haven't been active, they would know penalties.
Right, they're kind of carryovers that we've been keeping along this process, but really probably their active farming probably ceased a few years ago.
Okay, yeah. So the number is likely going to drop. Yeah.
One last one.
Yeah, in terms of those that we're not sure they're out of business, is there a way to pass the work of figuring that out to the to Kirk Schmidt and his operation? I know farmers love to tell on each other.
Well, we do have this third-party responsibility is a conversation that we're actively engaged in terms of what are our responsibilities and what are the third-party responsibilities, and we're trying to shift as much responsibility to the third party as we can. We have discussed with Mr. Schmidt that he is informing. He's the first informant to the growers that you are out of compliance and here's what's going to happen if you don't pay the fee. In addition, we're also copying the notices of violation to the landowner. So the landowner, who's providing the land to the tenant or the operator, is also a tool in making sure that there's compliance. But we don't have the authority to require Preservation Inc. to do specific tasks under the order.
Okay. Thank you. That completes this item. We'll move to item number 14. Thanks. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Steve.
So I'll be extremely brief. Steve Schimmick, the Otter Project in Monterey, Coastkeeper. I just want to thank the board, and I want to thank the staff for working on enforcement on the ag waiver and the cooperative monitoring program. And frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that Kirk is not here to also thank the staff, because this is something he has wanted to happen so much, so often. I'm sure he'll be here tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.